to him belongs all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise forever and forever. Now tonight we're going to continue on the things of the Holy Spirit. And I want to speak from my heart tonight. And I want to speak to you about something that the Lord was dealing with my heart, dealing with my spirit. And something that I felt severely to deal. Now, you need to hear me tonight in this place. We need truth in our churches again. We need the truth. Say with me, I need the truth. Because the Lord Jesus said, you shall know the what? The truth. And the truth shall do what? It shall set you free. So truth does two things. It either offends the carnal or it sets his people free. So tonight you need some truth. I want you to say this, I need truth. And it's truth pertaining to the things of the Spirit. And this whole month of February, we were discussing the mysteries of the Holy Spirit. There's no greater friend, no greater person than the person of the Holy Spirit. Is that correct? For those who has been walking with our ministry will know that the person of the Holy Spirit is everything to us as a ministry. And we cannot do anything without Him. It's about Him. And I want to quickly set your focus on one thing before I'm going to get to what God has showed me. The Holy Spirit's got one work on this earth, and that's to glorify Christ. Please get that right. The scripture says, Jesus said he's not even coming to speak about himself, but he will always testify about him. Amen. And so what Jesus does is, when the Holy Spirit draws people to Jesus, so he's the center of attention. Come on, like that song says, Jesus at the center of it all. Amen? So he becomes center of it all. So in other words, Jesus gets praise through the Holy Spirit, and the Father gets praise through Jesus. Come on, that's a fact. The more the Holy Spirit draws us to Christ, the more the Son draws us to the Father. And by that, He's getting the glory. And I want to say this with fear, love, and much reverence, that God will not share His glory with no man. The glory belongs to God and to God alone. Are you hearing me this night? The glory does only belong to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me something so strong, something so clear. And he said to me, never call everybody that preaches a man of God. Many are a man of self. You see, it's only when this I am dies, that the great I am steps into your life. And the atmosphere starts to change wherever you go, because it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. Amen. So this morning we were hearing about the power gifts, the gifts of faith and healings and miracles. And that's one of the gifts, one of the three of the nine. And there's more, there's vocal gifts, mind gifts. But we were discussing power gifts. And I want to share something with you tonight. Again, I want to say this, let's get it started. Amen. God will not share His glory with no man. The glory belongs to God Almighty. Amen. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
I want to read you a scripture quickly before I'm going to do what I wanted to do. I quickly have to do, just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 5. The Bible says, you can follow me, 2 Samuel, please follow me, please take some notes and you'll see where I'm going to tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 5 says, then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. I want you to quickly look at this scenario. Scripture says the ark of God is traveling, it's moving, and Uzzah is one of them carrying the ark of God. Back in the Old Testament, they carried it on their shoulders. Now, I want you to understand to me tonight, the oxen, Scripture says, stumbled. And by error, Uzzah touched the ark of covenant. The ark of covenant was also the place which housed the glory of God. And the Bible says he touched the ark of God. In other words, he touched the glory of God in a manner that God does not like. And what's the repercussions of touching the glory of God in a manner that God does not accept? You die. Yet many people play around with the glory of God. Come on, if you don't believe it, don't say anything. But if you believe it, I want you to shout yes in this place. You see, if you touch the ark of God, you touch the glory of God in an unworthy manner, you're going to die. So many people touch the ark of God in an unworthy manner. And let's just call a spade tonight in this place. You can put up a great front in front of a church. in front of people, but tonight you're gonna go home alone and you're gonna have to deal with God alone. And one day, very soon, we're gonna have to stand before His throne and we're gonna have to give accountability. You can fool people. My God, you cannot fool God. You see, people of God, He knows your heart. He knows everything that's happening on the inside of you. You can put up a face and be false behind the scenes, but God knows it. And the Bible says they've touched the covenant of God, the ark of God, the glory of God in an unworthy manner, and He died right there and then. You see, people don't even understand this. Many people, we were having this discussion after the morning service. Many people are operating in Ichabod. Ichabod, for those who do not understand this, Ichabod means the glory has departed. People are happy with the glory that has departed, but God is not calling us to be happy with Ichabod. He's calling us for Kabod, glory of God. For those of you who do not know this, we do not have a smoke machine here. And well, I say this for a reason. There's a photo we took from the back, and I didn't even know about this photo. In fact, I was clearing up my cell phone, and I went through all the pictures, and I saw, wow, there's a picture that speaks volumes. And the greatness, if you could go check it on Facebook, there's no smoke machines here. But the presence of God, you can see the Kabod glory of God coming down into a place. And listen, saints, I'm getting somewhere here tonight. You see, our problem, our situation we are having is so many people walk with God, but it's a kingdom that they built for self and not a kingdom of God. That's an unworthy manner. You can fool people for so long, but then comes judgment. You're going to have to stand before God. Come on, can I get an amen in this place? You see, how do we do this? And I've seen this, especially when it comes to the gift of the Spirit. Let's understand one thing. The gift of the Spirit is not for self. It's for God's people. The Scripture says God has given the gifts to do what? To edify the body of Christ. If any gift puts an emphasis on me, I'm in error. Okay, let's try this side. You see, today we've got great prophets, and then we've got some serious problems. Because many people prophesy out of witchcraft, and they think that they do God a favor. Many people, and please hear me, and I said it this morning, I'm saying this again. The gospel should never change. Jesus says, freely you have received, freely give. So when people attach a price to the gift, it's one simple reason they didn't receive freely. In actual fact, they received none. Oh, I'm going to try this idea. You better help me tonight. We need to get back to basics, saints. The gifts of God is not for sale. You cannot buy it. This is why many people, they need it, they want it, but they never have it because they don't understand. If anybody operates in the gift of prophecy and they prophesy to you for personal gain, that's witchcraft. Amen. Hello? It's witchcraft. If anybody, any man says, thus saith the Lord, but it's behind the scenes, witchcraft. Let me just help you understand when it comes to prophecy. A prophecy, I'm not going to come to you and say, hey, God says pack your bags and go to Africa. And you don't want to go to Africa. A prophecy is something that I already know. So when you come to me to prophesy, don't, listen, it's just a, whoo, heaven touched me, I know. Amen. I know, it's a confirmation. Am I speaking to somebody? And what the saddest thing is, people are paying to be deceived week after week. Do you know what we lack in our churches? Can I call it like it is? We lack loyalty. People are not loyal no longer. They're not even, one guy said to me the other day, he said, if you need loyalty, buy a dog. He says, but that's the only thing that's still loyal today. People are not loyal. People most of the times use you for what they can get out of you, and then they move on to something that they think they want. And then they burn their fingers and they walk in a circle and they burn. Come on, and spiritually they don't even grow because there's no more loyalty. People wanna be on the scene when it's good, but when it's bad, they run. I'm here to tell you, where's the fear of God? Come on, I said, where's the fear of God? When the fear of God steps in, I don't want to be disloyal. I want to be loyal. I want to listen to His voice. I want to do whatever He called me to do. Come on. Am I speaking to somebody? I need to stir you up in this place tonight. Do you understand? It's time that the fear of God come back. Ministers, get back the fear of God. That's what we need. And we have the fear of God. I'll tell you, a man with the fear of God, you are too afraid to promote yourself. lest you die. Come on, you are the only person you want to promote is him. It's him. It's him. Look at my hands quickly. Do you see any holes in these hands? Absolutely not. Why? Because there's one greater who died for you, and his name is Jesus. He's worthy of praise. Come on. He's worthy of praise. And I don't want to say this to you. They don't want to say this because church has become a political hub. It's a business. Let's just say it as it is. It has become a business. Ichabod has filled out churches. The glory of God is no longer there. It's filled with programs. People, it's too hot, it's too cold. The music is too bad, it's too good. Listen, if the Kabod glory of God moves in, the fear of God comes back. The only thing you are worried about is getting back on your face before God and say, woe is me, woe is me.
Amen.
We need the fear back. Come on, you better tell somebody we need the fear of God back in our churches. Come on, we need, and the reason why the fear of God is lacking is because the person of the Holy Ghost is no longer involved in our lives. People say that you can't call him Holy Ghost. The King James Version speaks about him of the Holy Ghost. We need the fear of God to enter our services. Listen, you cannot pay. You cannot pay. I mean, do you know how many times I've received bribery? That is what I'm calling it. A bribery. If you pray for me, I'll pay you. My God, I don't need your money. Saints, hear me. Money is for a season. God is eternal. If we build ministries, and I'm not just talking about ministries, businesses for our own personal gain, we are missing the mark. It's about Him. Can I can't even explain this to you enough. It seems to me, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch me, that I can release the right articles that you need to hear. But you need to understand, if it's not about Jesus, we are in it for the wrong reasons.
Amen.
Cannot pay for the giftings of God. People prophesy out of a witchcraft spirit. And we, do you know what we do? Spirit attracts spirit, and fools follows fools. And then suddenly God said, God didn't. That's not God. Selling your soul to receive a word from God. People run from prophet to prophet instead of running to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Come on, can we be clear with each other tonight? If that fear of God comes in, do you know it's not a fear of, I'm too afraid to speak to him. No, it's a holy fear. It's a fear that I know that he is holy and he sees all things. Whether I try you can put it. You can put makeup on it. He knows it. He knows what you're doing. Amen. Have you ever seen? And this is the greatest mistake people make when it comes to the gifting. Have you ever noticed that a man walks to you and say, I see something red. Yeah, that's my car. Awesome. And then he screams, prophesy, prophesy. And then I walk past him and say, I see something blue. Yeah, that's my shirt. Yeah, that's the one. I see JJJ, that's my name, all right? And then that's not a prophecy. That's wishful thinking. That, in actual fact, let's just go back to scripture. That is a word of knowledge. It's good to tell him that I see something red. All right, that's my red car. That doesn't change his life. What does change his life is when God gets into his head. And this is what true prophets need to understand. A true prophet is not only a seer. A true prophet is somebody that speaks a now word from God who changes your whole destination, your whole destiny, your whole future by one word from God. This is why the centurion said to Jesus, just speak the word. They recognized him as a prophet. And this is why they knew that if he can just speak a word, everything will be sorted. Come on, we need the prophets to arise, the true prophets. Not those who prophesy. Come on, those who prophesy, who speaks forth the word of God, power. This is what we need in our churches. We need the gifts of God to be in full operation and administration for our lives. Amen. Am I speaking to the right crowd? Come on, I try to get across with so much love, but listen, when I speak about the Holy Spirit, you need to understand that you can have the president of any country in a place. When the Holy Spirit steps in, that's another level of respect, of awe, of wonder. Amen. You can sit when I put, I don't care. But when he steps in, my God, you better notice.
Yeah.
Come on, you better notice. You know what? The times is breaking open. I believe it. And the Lord is pushing his people back on their faces. Come on, back on their faces. Back on their faces. Back to that place of repentance. So that his gifts can operate completely through us. Can I carry on? Yeah. Who says vessel? The Lord is speaking to me tonight. Yeah. We are so happy with Ichabod. We don't even notice that the presence of God has left. A great man of God, I don't want to mention his name, he said something the one day that shook me. He said, seeker sensitive churches are not from God. He says they make place for what people want, but they don't cater for what the Holy Spirit wants. And it's a big name, so trust me, he likes big churches. But he says he hates the movement of the seeker sensitive, because seeker sensitive is we become sensitive to what people like and no longer sensitive to what the Spirit of God likes. Here's the Bible. It says that when Uzzah touched the Ark of Covenant in an unlawful manner, he died. You see, when the minute you take glory for self, that's unlawful. You mark a death sentence. Come on, I need somebody to help me out of this place tonight. Every time when it's about me, myself, and I, it's a death warrant. Because you touch in an unlawful manner. The glory belongs to Jesus. Amen. Come on, help me out, somebody. It belongs to Jesus. And I've seen this. I want to read you a scripture, and this shook me. Come on, turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Matthew 7 and verse 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Imagine standing before him one day and boasting about how many souls you've won, how many times you've prophesied in his name. Come on, doing the words in his name. And he says, who are you? I don't even know you. The question tonight is not, do you know Jesus? My question to you is, does Jesus know you? Come on, does he know who you are? Are you still sitting at his feet? And you see, the greatest thing that I've learned the couple of past months from my life is you have to guard your heart above all things that needs to be guarded. Come on, you have to guard your heart so close to all the attacks, the persecutions, the hate, the jealousies, the outbursts, the wrath, and all the things that people do to you. You have to guard your heart, because one day you're going to stand for yourself. Come on, not for those who hurt you. You better let them go. Is somebody listening to me tonight? You better let it go. Release offense. Do not take offense to your heart. For offense, when you take offense to your heart, you're touching unlawfully the glory of God. Why do I say that? Because the glory is not yours. So the persecution is also not yours. I like that one. When Jesus showed me that, I said, thank you, Lord. It's not mine. Come on, it's not mine. Say, it's not mine. And the Bible says, when David saw that Uzzah died, he said, I'm too afraid. Look at what God's presence is doing. And I know that many people say, well, Vessel, that was Old Testament. Can I just help you out in the New Testament? Come on, how? And Ananias and Sapphira died because they touched unlawfully. They fell dead. They were carried out. This is after Jesus dying on the cross, being resurrected from the dead. Amen. They still died in the presence of God. I know people say this is a prophet of doom. I'm declaring this. The time has come where we will see it happen again. That those who play with God, come on, those who come against him shall drop dead. They will be carried out. The time has come. I believe the season has come. You can write down the very date and second. I'm prophesying this. That a purity, a purification is coming to the church once again. A purification. Let me tell you something. That's exactly what I was speaking about. Laying down on the floor flat, face flat, and say, Lord, I need to repent. Help me. Here's David. He says, listen, if this is what the ark, the presence of God is doing, I don't want it. And he found a man called Obed-Edom. And scripture says that he took the Ark of Covenant and he made a place in his house. And they left the presence of God in his house. And do you know what the Lord did? Scripture says he blessed Obed-Edom's house because of the presence of God. Obed-Edom prospered because he made room for the presence of God Almighty. Obed-Edom knew how to respect God's presence. Come on, help me out. He knew not to touch unlawfully. And the Bible says that rumors spread. Oh, I like this. Did you see how God is blessing Obed-Edom? David said, no, this is not right. If God is blessing him, I want that in my house. Do you know what later, you can study it, Obed-Edom later became a gatekeeper for those at the temple. So God brought promotion because he knew how to cater for the presence of God. He knew how to look after the presence of God. What do I say tonight? I say to you tonight that the gifts of God should become expensive once again. Yet it's free. It should become expensive again. It shouldn't be played around with. It shouldn't be put on display and say it's for sale. There should be no to rent, no for sale boards on any gifts of the Spirit of God. It should function through the unction of the Holy Spirit. And we should go back just to Scripture and see what those men did. The fear of God should come back in our lives. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Can I say this one more time? It's about Jesus. So there's a lack of integrity. There's a lack of commitment. People want to be used of God, but they're not committed. If you're not committed with the little, don't tell me that you are called for great things. If you cannot even commit yourself to the little things. My God, you better hear me. If you're not committed to the small things, how do you think that? Do you think that God will just say, oh, here's promotion because I like your face? No. What God has placed in your hand, turn it around and say, I'm going to use it for your glory. You see, if you wipe the floors and people walk in and they see the floors are wiped, they must know that God has received the glory. You see, many people say, oh, why should I do that? Why should I? Listen, anything that you do, do it like you do it unto Christ. Everything that we do, our lives should represent Christ Almighty. Come on, everything. Am I speaking to the right crowd? So the gift of faith is so needed in today's life. But the Scripture says the gift has come through the Holy Spirit. He's the one who gives us the gifts. So in other words, you cannot pay for the gifts. When I was a small boy, I was 5 years old, and I was in a church, and I heard people praying in tongues, and I took my dad by his hand, and I said, Dad, you better teach me. I want to be able to pray that language. And he said to me, listen, I cannot teach you how to pray languages. It's a precious gift of the Spirit of God. And I walked into my room that night, closed the door behind me, and I started seeking the Lord for myself. Because you see, the money couldn't buy it. Money cannot buy a pure heart. Come on, money cannot buy a pure holy hunger. And I've seeked God for myself, and the Lord baptized me with His Spirit. I will never forget this. I want to share this. Not very long ago, I was invited to a church, and the Lord instructed me to go there earlier to go and pray and take my team with me. We were all happy, as always. All right, they're always happy, guys. And we got to the church, and everybody's so excited. And they opened the door for me, and I was walking from the back, walking to front towards the front of the stage. And the whole team was left in the back, and I got to the front. And when I got to the front, suddenly it felt to me that somebody close to me has died. It felt like a knife went through my heart. It was a pain that I couldn't express in words. And I fell on my knees and I started crying. And the whole team thought to themselves, what's happening here? This guy was just happy just now. And I understand this. When it comes to the gift of the Spirit, especially with the discerning of spirits, before you can discern any spirit, you have to discern your own spirit. You have to know your own spirit before you can discern any other spirit. Am I speaking to somebody? So I knew it was not me feeling that way. So I thought maybe I missed it. It's maybe one of the guys from the team. And when I walked to the front to see if I'm okay, they, right next to me, they fell and they cried. And the tears streamed down their faces. And I said, Lord, which one of them is it? You show me which one. And you know what the Lord responded? He said to me, it's my Holy Spirit that feels that way. When He said that, I cried even more. I said, Lord, it doesn't make sense. It feels like somebody close to me is dead, but He's not dead. Do you know what God responded? He says, to this church, He is. I sobbed. I cried. I couldn't control myself. I never felt in my life a grief that I've experienced, but God, for a glimpse, helped me to understand and feel what the Spirit of God felt that instant. I felt it again this afternoon. I felt grieved. I felt that I wanted to close myself up in a room and just cry, because the Spirit of God is grieved. He's grieved, He's grieved, He's grieved. And that day in that church, I'll never forget this, I turned around my whole message and I ministered on the Holy Spirit. that night, and the power of God shook that place. People came to repentance. The power of God came back into that room. And have you ever understood this? Isaiah 63 says they rebelled and grieved his spirit, and he turned against them and fought against them as their enemy. Imagine grieving the Holy Spirit in such a manner that no longer is he for you, but he turns against you. That's not my own words, that's biblical. Read it. Isaiah 63, he turned against them and he fought against them. Why? Because they rebelled against him. They grieved against him. If I said this once, it's not enough. When I was standing in a room, the one I praying before God, the Lord said to me, there's one reason I'm using you. One reason I'm using you. It's because of your heart. And I said to the Lord, that's the only thing? He says, your heart. He says, as long as you give me glory, you'll live. The minute you take glory, I'll remove you. Because the glory belongs to Him. And listen, I'm here to tell you right now. Paul says, don't grieve the Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. We grieve Him by making the gospel cheap. We're grieving Him by putting a number, a figure on everything. Come on, sell your donation now when you get healed. Bull trap! You cannot buy a healing. Come on, Jesus didn't pay a price on the cross of Calvary so that you can take the gospel of Jesus Christ and turn it in and sell it out. It's not for sale. Please, saints of God, do you hear? Listen, this is not vessel speaking. This is what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Get back to basics. I understand 100%, every single ministry, every single church needs money. I understand it 100%. But you better first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. You hear me? I'm getting somewhere. This is just the intro, right? But Jesus says a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. If you declare that you stand for the kingdom of Christ Jesus and you try to speak bad about your brother or your sister, you're a fool. I'm going to try them. Help me out here. How can you say you built the same kingdom but you tear down? You try to devour and kill and destroy. That's not the spirit of grace. That's not the spirit of Christ. Where's the unity? I know it sounds like a hard word, but I promise you it's going to get you free tonight. Listen, it's going to get you free tonight. Because I'm sick and tired. I said I'm sick and tired of how the church world is operating at this very moment. And am I angry at the church? Oh no, I can tell you one thing, the fear of God is on me. This is why the church has lost its power. The church has lost its power because there's programs after programs after programs. There's more politics. There's more cliques in the church world. And I thank God this is life. So for everybody out there. It's a clique. It's a clique. The only clique I want to be in is the clique of the Father and of the Son. Woo! And of the Holy Ghost. I'm placed on planet Earth to do one thing. To glorify Jesus Christ. This is not my kingdom. It's His kingdom. Listen, I know this is what Paul says. I understand tonight. I have the revelation why Paul says, I know what it is to have everything and I know what it means to have nothing. Yet I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, they can take it all away. As long as I have Christ, I have it all. I have it all. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I have it all. You can have everything in life, but if you are without Jesus Christ, you have nothing. Come on, He's the author of all things. In Him we live and move and have our being. Come on, it's because of Jesus. We need to get back to basics, the power of God. You know what happened to me in a church? I've never experienced this in my life, preaching at a church. The miracle working power of Jesus is at display. I'm talking about blind eyes opening up everywhere, people getting out of wheelchairs. I'm standing in the front on a brand new carpet. The glory of God is so intense, it's falling. People are crying out to the Lord. The preacher coming, taps me on the shoulder. He says, can you please just remove your shoes? This is a new carpet. God is my witness. I turned to him, I said, do you want to die tonight? I said, move out of the way. Who cares about the carpet? We are called to set people free, not to build monuments. People want monuments. We're not here to build a monument. We are here to build a movement. Come on, a movement of people who's God-fearing, walking in the power of God, set the captives free. This is why we're called. I say this with all the love in my heart. But church, get back to basic, please. Don't allow people to snare you in all the lies and hypocrisy. Jesus says in the last days, people will become lovers of self. Boastful, pride, lovers of money more than lovers of God. He says they will become unholy, unruly. I don't even need to ask you that question. Do you think that we are living in those days, the Bible is saying? It says in the last days, spurious times. Spurious means dangerous. Dangerous times will come where people will be lovers of self. Lovers of self. This is why Catherine Kuhlman was so powerful, because Catherine knew how to die to self. Catherine knew how to take away every single ounce of every single being and put it on Christ, let Him get the glory. That's the key, people. I said it to the team this afternoon, and I beg all of you. If there's one thing, you can leave this place tonight and forget about my name, that's fine. But I need you to leave here tonight knowing Jesus Christ and knowing that it's all about Him. And this is one thing that I need to put a stamp on your life. I know many people are remembered as great apostles of faith, and God bless them. I want to be called an apostle. I want to be known as a man of God. But let me tell you, I want to be left. When I leave this earth, people must always say that that man gave Christ the glory. Yes. That's what it's about. And I think that I'm a very passionate person. Everything that I do in life is a passion. I serve the Lord with a passion. And to see people toying around with it, playing with it, I cannot handle it. I cannot stand for it. I love Him too much to mess it up. And we are messing it up, church. We are messing it up. When last have you been faithful? Come on. It's time that we just stand. So that they stand par for you, Eleanor. Say, Lord, where am I at the moment? What is my life reflecting? Is it giving you glory? Or is it putting an emphasis on the entity, on the man? Because surely it should be on Jesus. I need to say this again, church. The gifts of God is not for sale. Any prophecy, any healing, if man comes to you and say you have to pay. I was in a place the one day where an old lady came and she asked a guy to please pray for her at her house. He got to her house, he prayed for her, old pensioner. My daddy's here, he can help me out. She went to a little box, she said, I didn't forget, Pastor, just hang on. Here's your fee. She took a last. And he didn't say no, thank you. He said, thank you. A little bit short. And I said, Lord, let me be that man when there's a cry. You didn't die for me on the cross. You didn't give me the gift to run a brothel with it. It's not for sale. It's not for sale. This is why the gifts of God is no longer operating in the churches. Because, listen, a woman said to me this. She said it out of her own mouth. She said, I was in one of your meetings. She said, I saw the healing power of Jesus everywhere. She says, and then something happened. There was a woman. Wayne was there that night. He will help me out. She was blind in her eyes. She said, the eye was as white as snow. She said, and she said to Jesus, Lord, I can heal that woman. Give me the chance. I'll heal her. If you give me one opportunity, I'll heal that woman, Lord. I've got the power. I'll heal her. I'll heal her. She said, I'll never forget what happened after that. She said, you turned around and you looked me in the eyes and you walked off. And she said, the Holy Ghost spoke to her and he said, how dare you operating the way you're operating. She said, I need to repent before God in heaven. I need to tell you, I was busy with witchcraft. I said, I want to heal. And Wayne can help. But you know what we did with that woman? We took her out. We put her in a small room with us. We started praying. That white eye changed color. And a whole pupil came back right in front of eyes. For one simple reason. God will not share His glory. If you're sitting in a place and say, oh Lord, use me. I'm going to heal her. Trust me. You'll see nothing. This is why God says, take her out. You go and do it where no eye sees, where no one will take glory, but that the glory will go back to heaven. Amen. I can tell you how many nights out ministering after the service, I had to fall on my knees out of fear for even people giving you honor. That's not, they don't even understand what they do. They honor the anointing. I understand that 100%. I'm all for honoring the anointing. But people sometimes put an emphasis on you, how great you are, what a great preacher you are. You ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. He's everything. He's everything. I heard a thing about Smith Wigglesworth. They said when they found his body, when the doctor checked his body after he was now dead, they looked at his knees and they saw there was bones missing from the front of his knees. Bones in both knees were missing. And then they got to the house, into his house, in a small room. They found the place where he was praying, and they found in the ground how the cement were worn out of, because of his knees, of every night coming into the presence of God. It worn out the cement floors, but it also worn out the kneecaps. But his whole life gave the Lord glory. I need to throw this in free of charge. When you spend time with Jesus, the more time you spend with Him, the more you want to give Him glory. Amen. And so many people ask, why does God send you through a desert, through hardship, through bad times? So when the good times come, that you will know who receives the glory. Amen. This is why God allows you to experience some of the painful seasons in your life. Why do I understand? Why do I have to feel it? And if you want to be used greatly of God, the attacks will be even greatly. It will be all severe. I want to speak to those who's in love with the Holy Spirit when I lift your hands. To those who says, Lord, bring back the glory. Come on, am I in the right church? Lord, bring back your glory. The time where the glory of God invaded our services, where the watch died. We didn't care about hours and seconds no longer. We were just sold out. We wanted God to encounter us. I felt that very grief of the Spirit again tonight for the first time. I knew that the Spirit of God is grieved about how things are going right around the world. We need to make an impact, church. Wake up. I said, wake up. I don't want to be one of those who says things from the front that's not used, but wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee. There's many sheep in wolf's clothing out there just to devour, to get into the pocket. Jimmy Swaggart, I don't care what the world says. I stand and I said, God, I thank you for a man who will not bow for money. A man said to me, I like what you preach, but if you change what you preach a little bit, I'll give you more money. And there was a millionaire. He said, I need your money, but I'll not change the message of Jesus Christ for all the money in the world. It's time that you say the gift. You want the gift? It's not for sale. When I was in the Philippines, I think I said it here. I was in the Philippines there for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, the Lord has brought me through a season, and I never want to go back again into, trust me. 2 weeks alone. It's just you, and you, and you, and then suddenly you understand when God says, I'll never leave you, and the Holy Spirit steps into a room, and now you start to commune with Him. And a preacher there, a great friend of mine, I love this guy. He traveled with me. We went through the whole island. And every single day this preacher, he loved the gifts of the Spirit of God. He loved the gifts. And he said to me the one day that I'm going to start off in his church and we're going to preach. So we got into a taxi, in the back of a taxi, and this guy sat right next to me, but up close and personal. And his one hand was on my leg and the other one at first was around my shoulder. And I thought, this is a party, because this guy's keeping me ever so gently. And he didn't want to let me go. And he's just speaking to me, telling me how happy he is that I'm in the Philippines and how much he has seen. And he's just holding me. And so the service starts, the power of God moves, souls come to Jesus. In the Philippines, more than 700 souls came to Jesus. And in a very short space, just people just ran out and said, I've never knew this Jesus, but I want to give my life to Him. And this preacher, he's traveling with me. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. So I want to travel with you to see that you're safe wherever you're traveling. So every single time we get into a taxi, he will rub my leg. He'll put his hand on my leg and he'll rub my leg. Every single... We get to McDonald's to buy a burger, and he will stand next to me and he will place an order and he'll rub me. One Big Mac meal, please. I didn't want to be rude. As jy nederig is, dan vat jy alles. Vryf maar oom, vryf. So we're standing here in McDonald's, and this really happened. It's rubbing me. I couldn't understand this. So one day he said to me, listen, it's a bit tricky to come to the next venue that we're going to preach. And he says, there's a lot of traveling, so we're going to get into a bus. So we got into this bus. Now we're sitting in this bus, and there's chairs open everywhere. He decides to sit right next to me. And he puts his one leg right against mine, and he starts to rub again. But now the people in the bus is looking at us funny, because there's a whole rubbing going on, and I'm not used to this. I thought to myself, let's rather say nothing, just rub away. So we got out of this bus into a taxi. I'll never get this. In a taxi, the same thing happens. I see the drivers looking in the rearview mirror. If you've not walked in this shoes, you'll not understand what I'm telling you now. Now I thought, all right, almost at church. We stopped, got out into a motorbike sidecar. And the sidecar is very small. Now, legs are crossing in the sidecar, and he's rubbing. Do you know, let me tell you, it was the longest 5-minute drive of my life. I prayed in tongues the whole way. And his legs has crossed mine, and he's rubbing, and he's speaking, and my goodness, I just wanted to get out of the sidecar. Every single service for 2 weeks, he slept in the same hotel. Yes. Every single vehicle I get into, he's right there. He never leaves me. Run to the toilet. All right, I'll see you now. Just stand there, please. Get out. Hello, did you have a good time? Can I just wash my hands? And I'll never forget this. The last service, right in front, center. Worship God. This guy's rubbing. Stand. Hallelujah. Have you ever been rubbed for 2 weeks non-stop? It's freaky in any language. And after the last service, we got to a restaurant, and all the preachers that I was preaching for the past two weeks, we got to this restaurant, and everybody's sitting around the table, and this guy is sitting next to me. And he's just going. So I see the preachers around the table, he's looking at him funny, and they didn't know what's happening. And so I ordered the steak, because in the Philippines, Indonesia, those places, you have to be very careful what you order, because they eat cats, they eat dogs, they eat monkeys. You can go to Taiwan, I can take you to shops in Taiwan, where you walk into a shopping center, a supermarket, and you will find the dog's head of your choice for sale to eat. It's a delicacy. So you have to be very careful what you eat. So I said, please, the steak. So I prayed it, the steak. You trust me, it was a steak. So this guy is sitting next to me, he's rubbing. I'm cutting, he's rubbing. I wanted to just do. Lord, will you forgive me? Oops. And in any case, I'm cutting my piece of steak, and I'm having a bite. And as I'm eating, and I'm still chewing, he says, he's rubbing, and he says, are you going to finish your steak? I said, yes, why? He grabs the steak from my plate, and he starts to eat the steak. And he devours the steak. Yes, he's cutting and eating and cutting. And everybody now, I can see, they've got their attention. And I thought, I'm not going to say nothing. Let him enjoy the steak. Good for him. And I opened my Coca-Cola can, up a Stwilly Willy, and I had a sip. And he said to me, turned to me, he said, are you going to finish your can? I said, you touch. I said, yes, why? And he grabbed the can of Coke, and he starts to drink the can of Coke, and the one preacher can't handle it. He jumps and he says, what's wrong with you? And this guy, he thinks it's all normal, nothing wrong. He says, you are so rude. This is a man of God. And you are rubbing him the whole time. And while this preacher is telling him his fortune, he's... And he says, you're taking his food. That's rude. He says, you're drinking of his drinks. That's rude. How can you do that? And this guy stood up and he said, let me tell you something. I'm not rude. I'm just desperate. I'll do anything to have what he's got on his life. He says, if I have to kiss him, I'll kiss him. I said, please, no. And then he sat down. The whole table was quiet. Do you know what I did? I took my chair. I moved a little bit closer. I put my hands on his leg. I thought this guy's gonna get uncomfortable. But no! He's rubbing even more. And I said to him, "You want what I've got?" He said, "I want what you have." I said, "It's not for sale, do you know?" He says, "No, no." I said, "But are you willing to do what I do? To go through what I'm going through? To have what I'm having?" Do you know what he did? Stood up, took his chair, moved to the side, and he said, "I don't want it that much." And I fought for 2 weeks. This guy rubbed me. I'm sore. He's eating my food, drinking my Coca-Cola. Nah. All for nothing. And that I understood something. It's priceless. There's no price attached to the gifts of God. And there should never be. Never. If a healing takes place, when the gift of miracles operates through your life, miracles is sign language from God. Every time a miracle happens, it's God that's speaking. Do you know what he says? "I love you." Every time a miracle happens, and so what happens is when a miracle happens, it your job, the one who the miracle is working through, your job is to put an emphasis on him. Because it's so easy that the enemy will tell you, "Did you see what you do? You just prayed for that guy, now he can see." And it goes to your head, and before you know it, pride has laid a nest and it starts to grow. And suddenly it's about me, myself, and I. A guy invited me to his church and he said, "Will you please come and preach in my church?" And I responded, I said, "In which area you are?" And he told me, and he said, I said, "Sure, I'll come." And he said, "No ways." He says, "Is this really Vessel Dubrain speaking?" I said, "This is Vessel Dubrain speaking." "Why?" He says, "No goodness. You're the first preacher that found me important enough to come to my town to preach." He says, "But you have to understand before you come, there's no hotels here." He says, "There's only a bed and breakfast." I said, "That's right up my alley." He says, "Well, I had a lot of preachers that says if there's no hotel, they're not coming." I said to him, "Lord, you've got the right guy. I'm not here for the hotels. I fly economy class. Hello. It's places that I have to fly to. The other day I was in Finland. I just arrived in Finland. Just came out of Netherlands, right to the Finland. I'm talking about spending 15 hours at a time in the air, just landing, spending time in one country, going to the next, and you just arrive and then you have to preach. They don't even give you time to freshen up. You just preach. But I love him so much that I'm not ashamed of this gospel. And we'll preach this gospel of power with truth again. And we'll make it important again. Christ is important. Listen, I understand completely when it comes to your privacy. I'm all for that. But listen, it's time that we don't put a price to the gospel anymore. No price. Come on, I said no price. No price. I was invited to so many places where guys said to me, "Come to my church, you draw people. I need new speakers." And he says, when people come, you can ask them at the door to tip us and maybe just sell a ticket and then we'll make more money and it will be a good weekend. I said, "Listen, if this is what the gospel is all about, go get a job." You're not allowed to say, "I just did. I just said it." It's time we preach the gospel with power again. Listen, I'm gonna finish, okay? It's not for sale. The gifts, it's not for sale. If any man prophesies to you, it's not biblical. It's a prophecy. It's witchcraft. If any man prophesies to you and it's for own personal gain, it's witchcraft. Amen? I've seen this. If it comes to healing and it's for own personal gain, it's witchcraft. If people ask you for money to be prayed for, it's witchcraft. Help me out. Come on, who believes what I'm saying tonight? There's no price attached to the workings of the Spirit of God. He comes with his purity of heart. He moves on loyal people. If God can trust you with little, he will add more and more to your life. My dad one day said to me something that stuck to me, and I think it will never go away. He said, son, think about the times you had to go through the pain, the rejection, the hate, the anger, the bitterness, the loneliness, the times of many tears where you've left and people left your life and it was just you, you had nothing. Your wife, you had nothing. And he said, but you hanged on to God. And he says how the Lord has turned things around in your life. He took you from the guttermost to the uttermost. And when he said that, I was, listen, he does something here. And I thank God I'm not the only one, but even if I am the only one, we'll stand for this truth. So help me God. So help me God. We don't want Ichabod. We want the Kabod glory of God to infiltrate our lives and our services. When we enter into this auditorium, we should know that we are standing on holy ground. That this is God moving. Am I speaking to the right people tonight in this place? And the Lord will always use you. When we lift Him up, He'll draw all men unto Him. Come on, unto Him. And if God can trust you with the gifts, He'll add it, He'll multiply it. He'll multiply it. And suddenly before you say hallelujah, He uses you in power. Are you ready to be used of God? Are you ready to say, I'm not negotiating the things of the Spirit? Come on, am I speaking to you? I'm not negotiating, I'm not putting a price to the gifts of God. And listen, don't grieve the Spirit of God. It's time that the gifts starts to operate again. Come on, again. I'm sick and tired of information, I want revelation. Come on, I'm sick and tired of information, I want manifestation. I want the kingdom of God to be demonstrated in the here and in the now. I want to see a prophecy changing lives again. Come on. I want to see a person who's got nowhere out, but suddenly they hear a voice of God speaking. Come on. God is dropping His oracles through His prophets, and suddenly you've got everything is clear. Now exactly you know that everything is different. Oh, come on. I want to see the deaf hear again, the blind see, the cripple walking again. This is what we want to see. Come on. We want to see the dead being raised. This is what we want to see. We want to see demons being casted out of people. And you know what? When it comes to casting out of demons, everybody, ooh, you can't do that. Well, in here we are doing exactly that. We are casting out demons. There's no right, no place. Come on, we don't play footsie-footsie with the devil. I don't know what you feel, but right now there's such a presence of God falling on me. My God, I feel the anointing of the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody needs to give Jesus a shout of praise. The gift of the Holy Spirit is exactly what it is. It's a gift. You take care of a gift. Anything that God gives me, I always say, Lord, I want to take care of it. Because it's a gift from you. You have to take care of the gifts that God has bestowed upon your life. Nurture the anointing. Take care of it. Come on. You have to defend the anointing upon everything. You have to defend it. Jesus died so that we can have the gifts. Amen. I want you to make yourself clear before heaven and say, no negotiations. And I pray. You know, this morning we were praying for the spirit of faith. I'm praying for the spirit of discernment tonight. Amen. That you'll get discernment, that you'll wake up. I have seen a guy, he's so holy that he can't walk on the floor. They lay their church members right before him and then he walks on them. I promise you, because he's too holy to touch the ground. Eileen and I, we came from a nation, I'll never get this in my whole life. We went through passport control and security check. And there stood a guy. I knew when I saw it, this is a prophet. Let me tell you how I knew it was a prophet. He didn't do anything for himself. He had about five guys around him. And then he will go through security. Two of them will lift his arms. Promise you. Then somebody will... The only thing that he does is he does this. They remove his shoes, they remove his socks, they remove his belt, they take off his jacket. He does nothing for himself. He's too holy to touch any of these things. And then they push him through a scanner, and then he goes through the scanner, he stands still, and then a guy runs and then lift him up again, pat him down, put one shoe on, they put on his socks. Never ever become so spiritually minded, so heavenly minded, the earthly no good. No, that's quiet. You're not too holy.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Jesus. Jesus. Lift your hands. Come on, lift those hands. Spirit of God, my prayer as your servant is that the holy fear of God shall come back to the church world. In the name of Jesus, let eyes open up before it's too late. Let eyes open up, no negotiations. We are not in this. This is not a business. This is the kingdom of God. We're not called to build our own kingdoms. We are called to build God's kingdom. And for Father, your word says if we seek your kingdom and your righteousness first, all the other things shall be added unto us. I pray our first business will be to establish your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray for every single church across South Africa. I pray that your gifts will manifest once again, that the Spirit of God will take his rightful position. In Jesus' name, I say, body of Christ, arise, 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 arise. Thank you, Lord, that you'll open up their minds for understanding. Open their eyes so that they can see truth. Open their ears, oh God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that an army is rising up. And I know that tonight we've heard a message that pierced many of us right through the heart. But I want to tell you tonight, an army is rising up. An army is rising up. An army that stands up. I see it around South Africa. An army that stands up and say, Lord, we want to be used of your Spirit again. Lord, let it be like Azusa Street. Let the power of God shake us on the highways and the byways in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, thank you that our lives will give Jesus honor. It will give him glory. That the gifts that manifest through my life, it will be for his glory. It will be for his glory. I pray tonight, Lord, that your Spirit will fill them. Come on, you lift your hands. You ask him, fill me tonight. Fill me with truth. I want to know the truth, Lord. I want to know the truth.